Good afternoon, brethren. Really good to see. We got a, in spite of us being a holiday weekend, we've got a full house today, so that's very nice. Glad to see everybody here. You know, it is a challenging time that we have with so many in our congregation. I know Mr. Welsh and I were talking about it just recently, that it seems like we've had our share of trials with illnesses and various things that have affected the congregation as a whole. So it certainly challenges us to do our part by praying for one another and being mindful of it and calling upon God to intervene and all. So there's others that we could mention, that's for sure. As we approach Pentecost, there's many things you could say and talk about when it comes to Pentecost. I'm going to talk about one aspect of Pentecost. The fact that God delivered to the masses at that time, he gave the opportunity for his Holy Spirit in a broader sense, in a broader way than ever before. If you'll turn with me to Romans 15, verse 13, I'm going to start there. Paul's talking here and he says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of what? The power of God's Holy Spirit, which is what he delivered to us on Pentecost." You know, it's extremely important that we as God's people understand how and when to call upon the power of God and God's Holy Spirit. And I know that sometimes that we're developed and overcome by problems we face on a day-to-day basis and are more complex than ever before facing us. Not only us as individuals, but our children as well are exposed to so many trials that we have each and every day. The complexities of the world that we live in. I think my wife and I talking about it lately, that it seems like more and more people, not of the Church of God, but just people in general, are talking about the end time and all the conditions that are existing, whether it's politics or economics, war, rumors of war, various things of this nature that we see and face and have understanding of that's coming and more coming down line. Many are encountering an extreme amount of stress that they never experienced before. You know, we're talking about the prayer request we just heard. Sam's daughter himself needs our prayers, and young people that are affected by that. We just got a prayer request from a young lady in Tennessee that we've been following, and she's 15 years old and dealing with issues that a 15-year-old shouldn't have to deal with. We have the Bakers on my left over here that need our prayers for encouragement and strength. These are things that we call upon by exercising the power of God's Holy Spirit that he's given us. And I wonder sometimes if we utilize that Spirit in the way that God intended. Are we claiming the promises of God? Are we using God's Holy Spirit? Do we use and understand the power of God's Holy Spirit? And what happens? Now, I can have a testimony here. I'm one of the zipper clubs now. I didn't know. I thought, you know, 2 weeks before I had my heart attack, I was feeling pretty good. I was walking along thinking, boy, you know, for my age, I'm doing really good, you know. 2 weeks later, young man over here was rushing me to the hospital, and I had a heart attack. 4 bypass surgery later and a big zipper scar in my chest, and I realized the power of God's Holy Spirit because God's brethren around the world were praying for my recovery. And it worked. The doctors were amazed at how quick my recovery came along. That had by accident. That wasn't normal. It wasn't normal for me to be in the hospital. And I know my friend down here, Mr. Carmack, feels very much the same way. And others, as we pray. I spoke to a lady recently who felt her problems were so overwhelming that she needed to know, where was God? And was he still there for her? And was he even hearing her prayers, much less answering her prayers? Had God forgotten her? Had he deserted her? Another lady that was in rehab with me said, There's so much stress, I don't even know where to start. I'm so encompassed with stress all the time. I don't know how to get out of that. Now, of course, she doesn't have the relationship that we have with God. And sometimes I think when we sit here on a Sabbath, realizing that God pulled us out of this world, gave us the opportunity, and has impregnated in us His Holy Spirit, and given us that the ability, and I look at some of the people in the world, I don't know how they make it. I don't know how they cope with the conditions in this world without God in their lives and with God's Holy Spirit directing their lives or having access to God through His Holy Spirit. But that's something you and I have, and we ought to take advantage of it day to day. So when we come face to face with these problems, the stress and trials that accompany them, we may not be claiming the promises of God like we should and asking for God's help through the Spirit of God as He intended us to do. And we can be overwhelmed by the problems. And sometimes when we're overwhelmed and consumed by the problems, we only see the problem. We don't see the solution. And the solution can be very obvious. And God usually, through His words, gives us that answer. And we can't be overwhelmed by them. When we feel we are up against the wall and there appears to be no sight or obviously condition in which we can see a way out of this problem, then it's time for us to get on our knees in prayer, using God's Holy Spirit and seeking His involvement in our life on a day-to-day basis. Now, I find myself slipping often in that situation. It seems like things are good. You know, you're doing all right. Well, you know, maybe you slip up on prayers and study and you're not really keeping up the way you should. But our relationship with God is a continuous thing. It's not an on and off situation. You know, God has a greater plan, as we heard in the sermonette today about our plan for the future. Let's go to Acts 2 and verse 38, because this is what Peter was saying when he was inspired by God, talking to the crowds at that time, Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift from God of what? Of His Holy Spirit." You know, God's Holy Spirit is a powerful gift from God once we have accepted Jesus Christ into our lives as our personal Savior, repented of our sins, and are baptized and had hands laid on us. You know, if you start from Genesis and go all the way through the Old Testament, you realize that there's only a handful of people, relatively speaking, that had relationship with God that was unique. And you can name them off. You can talk about Noah, you can talk about Abraham, you can talk about Jacob, Isaac. Talk about some of the prophets, David himself. But relatively few people in the Old Testament. Then we come to the New Testament when Jesus Christ came and brought the gospel. He brought a whole new relationship. And He offered that to you and me. And still a handful of people, when you consider the volume of people that's even in the metroplex area that we live in today and growing every day. And yet today, He's offered that to you and me. Let's go to Isaiah 11. Let's go to Isaiah 11. And verse 2. Now here's the benefits of God's Holy Spirit if we utilize them. He said in Isaiah 11, verse 2, "And the Spirit of God shall rest upon him or her, the Spirit of wisdom." So you can go to God and you can ask for wisdom and understanding and better understanding of God's Word and how to live it. And understanding that comes from God's Holy Spirit. "And the Spirit of counsel." You ever thought about going to God for counsel, for understanding, better problems, taking the problems to God, laying them on the altar and saying, "Look, God, I need your help." Put him there before him, before his throne. Humble yourself before God's throne. And I've had to do that so many times. I'm sure he hates to see me coming sometimes. Here he comes again. But that's what he's there for. "The Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God," the respect that we have for God and what he can do. And I know there's many families in God's church right now, scattered around the globe, that need God in their lives more than ever before. There's a unity in the churches of God, not just in the Church of United, but all the churches of God, all that God's working with, people that we're not even familiar with at this point in time, that God may be working with that we're not aware of at the same time. Let's go back to John 14 and verse 26. Because we're dealing with the same Holy Spirit that the apostles received when Jesus Christ told them what was coming. He said in verse 14, in John 14, verse 26, he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you and taught you." Now, that's not limited to what he told them while he was on the earth. That goes with all Scripture, all of God's Word. Every bit of it, from cover to cover, is God's Word, inspired Scripture that we need to live by. 1 Corinthians 2, you don't need to turn there. It says, without the Spirit of God, you cannot understand the things of God. That's the beginning point that each and every one of us has to live with. We have to know that God's Holy Spirit will give us a greater deal of understanding, and by that understanding, able to cope more and more with the stress and the conditions, health issues, financial issues, whatever they may be that's pressing upon you. Could be family situations. But God will do those things and help us in every way possible. You know, David, a man after God's own heart, was a human being who had problems, as illustrated by Scripture. God laid it all out there for everybody to see and say, look, here's my friend, the man I said has a heart after my own way. He was a human being. He made lots of mistakes, and boy, he laid them out for everybody to see, which ought to be encouraging to each and every one of us, because there's not one person in here, including myself, who hasn't broken God's law one time or another. So David in Psalm 73, and let's go there. I'm going to read this whole area and go through it, because in Psalm 73, and beginning in verse 1, there's a very interesting relationship that David is talking about here of his own human nature and how you can get to thinking. And that applies to each and every one of us in here, because I've done this. I've been where David is right here. I've been in this same conversation he's having here and reflecting on. But he says there, beginning in Psalm 73, verse 1, he says, truly God is good. Instead of Israel, put in there the church. Surely God is good to the church of God, is he not? To such that are pure of heart. Well, that defines it very quickly, doesn't it? That are pure of heart. Because what? Conversion is of the heart, is it not? That's where it begins. But as for me, David says, my feet had almost stumbled. I almost went beyond the point of recovery. My feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Why are you looking around the world today? Isn't that applicable? Here's the trap. We look at people in the world and we see the prosperity. We see them getting away with things and we say, here's the trap. It happens to all of us. For I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. This is David feeling. I'm going through these things and I'm trying to follow your way of life and I'm seeing all this other stuff out there and I don't understand it. Doesn't seem fair to me. He goes on, verse 4, for there are no pains in their death. Look at all these people in the world who have got millions and lie, cheat, steal, and you look at the prosperity of the wicked, and then you look at your own circumstances, which are not good, and we think, in our carnal minds at times, we think that God's unaware of that. And that's what we do. We fall into those. We jump to conclusions. But then he goes on and he says, but their strength is firm. They appear to be firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Nor are they played like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. They seem to get away with everything. Sing that? Don't there some of the wicked out there? We can name names that I won't in the political environment that we live in today. We can name names of people who seem to get away with everything. And yet are popular in the world society and prospering. And he goes on, it looks to me as I'm trying to follow God and nothing seems to be working. You ever felt like that before? You ever been in that situation? If you haven't, you're neat. I have. I'll just tell you right up front. Verse 7, their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore, his people return here and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They scoff at God. Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. And that seems to apply today. Let's go to verse 13. Surely, listen to this. This is David. Surely I have cleansed my head and my heart in vain. I've tried it. And what's happening to me? I got all these trials. I got all these problems. And old Joe Blow over here is doing all the cheating, stealing, and lying, and he's blessed. So am I making these sacrifices for nothing? Am I keeping the Sabbath for nothing? The holy days of God? You know, David's got questions at this point in his mind. And wasted my hands in innocence. I've been trying to follow God and do His will, and all I have is trouble, pain, difficulty, anguish, and problems. My heart is failing. Finances are failing. Facing death of loved ones, whatever the case may be, it piles up, and it really gets to be too much, doesn't it? And David was full of this thinking in his mind. This is when you need to call upon the Spirit of God and draw from the power of God. When you get in that attitude, that's what you need to do. Let's go on to verse 14. For all the day long I have been plagued. I chasten every morning. Nothing I do seems to turn out right. Some may wonder, where is God in all this? Verse 15. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. Excuse me. When I thought to understand this, it was too painful for me. And sometimes it is when we think on our own. Listen what happens here then. David has a change of mind. He said, all this was my thinking. I was on the verge of stumbling big time. And then he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. I finally went back and grabbed a hold of God's. And I said, I need your help. I got to have your help. Then I understood, he says, their end, meaning the wicked of this world and their ways. They're not getting away with anything. God knows what's going on. He's not living in some closet somewhere. God is aware of everything, everybody, and all the problems in this world. But you know what? They'll have their opportunity, won't they? What God's concern is about you and me in this room today, with David at that time, and all the saints that have been coming along since that period of time. The concern he has is, where are you going to end up? Yeah, there's all this stuff going on in the world, but are you going to overcome those things? Are you going to follow my ways, my laws, my commandments? Are you going to live by them? Are you going to be example to the world, even in spite of what you deal with on a day-to-day basis? So until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood, and that's the key, is it not? Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to destruct the desolation. As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terror, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. Verse 22. I was so foolish and I was so ignorant to think these things. Wow, what was I doing? What was I thinking? How could I depart from your ways so easily that I got the feeling so sorry for myself? I thought the world was getting away with all this stuff. And all the sacrifices I'm making wasn't doing any good. I'm not being blessed. Short-sighted, right? Very short-sighted. What's our end goal? The kingdom of God, the family of God in his family. That's the long-term goal for each and one of us. What's it say? Endure to the end. I mean, to the end. Not somewhere in between, but to the end. He says, I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You do hold my right hand. Very positive reinforcement. You will guide me and your counsel, and afterward receive me to honor and glory. The end results, David finally said, wow, God, I need to draw on your Holy Spirit, because that gives me knowledge and strength and wisdom and counsel to know where I really belong in my life. Whom I have in heaven but you. Who do I have in heaven but you? And no delight or desire on earth besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the rock, my rock, your rock, brethren, and firm strength in my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You will destroy all who are false to you, and like spiritual harlots depart from you. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God and made firm my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. David was a human being, and here he pours out that challenge, that battle that goes on with each and every one of us as we struggle to follow God's way of life. He was human. We're human. I'm sure we both, all of us, have the same idea and thoughts periodically in this walk that we make with God and Jesus Christ. Doesn't say it's easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. But that's what we need to do when our problems and difficulties are so bad. We must go to God and say, God, I'm here. I'm totally overwhelmed with all these, Father in heaven, the stress is too much. Too much for me now. I can't bear it. Oh God, I am sorry that I have wondered where you were. Help me and strengthen me through the power of your Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's people in the world that say, well, that's not a masculine thing to say. You ought to be tougher than that. No, brethren, when it comes to your hurting, you need to reach out to God on your knees. You need to reach out for God's Holy Spirit to help you through those problems, because that's what God wants. He wants you to have a relationship with him that is deep and long-lasting. Let's go to Romans. Go to Romans 8 and verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. This is Paul talking. He helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, God's Spirit, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's encouraging, that because God's Holy Spirit fills us up and we ask for God's Spirit to work in us. Since we know that grace is a gift from God and unmerited by any works that we could ever do, and we can only be saved by this grace and by the faith, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which convicts us of our sins and the weaknesses that we have and the points that we need to point us towards our Savior Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. There was a statement one time that was made that said that living the true Christian life is not hard. It's impossible. Think about that. It's impossible without God. to keep all of God's laws and commandments without God? It's hard enough as it is with God's Holy Spirit, with the knowledge and understanding that comes through His Holy Spirit, to keep that relation solid, to keep the commandments of God, to keep on the course constantly, to keep yourself reminded what you're supposed to be doing, not just on the Sabbath day, but every day of our lives. This is not a unique call. This is a unique calling. It's not an everyday calling. Our relationship with God is constant, every day, 24/7 is what it should be. But a lot of times it isn't. Let's go to Revelation 3, and I'm going to cover a little bit here, because Revelation 3, it talks about the end time attitude, end time church, possibilities. You can take that in two different ways. But it's an attitude that exists, and God sees it in His people. I'm not talking about the world here. He's talking about His people, those He's called out already. Revelation 3 and verse 15. He's talking to the church. He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. And he says, I would wish that you were either cold or hot. He said, get off the fence. Either commit totally or don't commit at all. I would rather you do that than sit along there playing this game. Pretty blunt. He said, I would rather you be either cold, not involved at all, or hot. And sometimes that can be true of many of us from time to time. How many times have we run from hot to cold? Think about it. Don't we also do that when we find problems so overwhelming sometimes that we don't pray when we ought to? We don't study when we need to. We don't use God's Spirit. We let things get to us to the point we become sometimes totally helpless and overwhelmed. That can happen. I've seen it happen in God's church. Drop down to verse 16. Revelation 3, verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, still talking about the church, God's people, because you're lukewarm and are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth, for you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and I have need of nothing. He's talking about spiritual content here. And you do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. These are God's words. Then we were in our wretchedness and poorness and blindness and nakedness. We need to go to God and say, God, this is my life. Please help me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Bring me back down to earth and bring me into a relationship with you. Skip down to verse 18. God says, I counsel you. What did we talk about the Holy Spirit? Offers counseling. Says, I counsel you to buy from me gold purified with fire. He's talking about His word, the truth of God ingrained in you by fire. We have to do something, buying, don't we? You got to go shopping. Where do you shop for God's truth? Revealed in God's word. And if you're not studying the scriptures every day, you're not buying of the gold that God's offering us every day. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of miners panning for gold in river bottoms. It's hard work. It really is. It's hard work. And they're looking for these little flakes, just tiny little flakes of gold. And God's saying, buy of gold from me. It's right here in this book. You just have to apply yourself every day and learn more and more in that relationship we have. You got to go looking for answers, and God's Holy Spirit will help us. He was sent as a helper to lead us into all truth. He said, buy from me gold purified by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed, the righteousness of the saints. And the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve so you may see. Now, sometimes we can be in a situation today spiritually where a great number of people in the churches of God, because He's talking about the end time church, isn't He? Talking about the attitude that can be prevailing in God's people now. And it's a warning. God's saying, wake up. This attitude will creep into the body of Christ. And he's warning us ahead of time, don't let that happen to you or to us generally and overall. And in various degrees of blindness or for various reasons. It's what happened to the psalmist in David in chapter 23 of Psalms that we read. He was blind to a degree, wasn't he? He wasn't seeing clearly. He was losing contact with God. We saw that because there were times that he sinned majorly. Maybe it's blindness from focusing on the wrong things and setting the wrong priorities. Maybe it's blindness of lack of prayer. Blindness for lack of study. Blindness from not using God's Holy Spirit when we need to draw upon that power. All those who suffer different forms of blindness for different reasons. But then David finally woke up and he said, I understand when he drew near to God and went to the sanctuary of God so he could understand. That's what we need to do. We get understanding from God's word. That's how he communicates with us. We pray, we ask God to intervene to help us. He gives us the answers in his word. And if you're not reading God's word, you're not getting the answers and you're not communicating with God the way we need to be. And applies to me. If I'm not studying God's word every day, I'm not talking to God. I may be sending up prayers, but I'm not looking at the answers. And I could be going down a trail that he doesn't want me to go down. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm doing God's work. Man, I am really going for God all the way. And I'm missing the mark totally. It can happen. You need to study. I need to study. You got to endure to the end. Just because I've been around a long time, almost 50 years in God's church, can I mark it off, say, man, I made it now? Not by a long shot. I got to make it right up to the last breath. We all do. And the only way we're going to do that is exercising the power of God's Holy Spirit to make sure that we stay on track. And we read and understanding the direction that God wants us to go in each and every day of our lives. Verse 8:19, Revelation 3. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door. I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. A personal relationship. That's what God wants with each and every one of us. He wants a personal relationship with you and me in this room. All of God's people around the world, no matter who they are, where they are. Yeah, we're human beings. Do I deserve that? Absolutely not. Is it a gift from God? Yes, it is. Is it a gift from God that I have His Holy Spirit? You bet it is. How am I using that gift? I had a friend of mine who's quite well off and said that they had worked at a certain store and she had access to a lot of appliances that she could get a big discount. So she was generously sending them off to her mother-in-law of all these goodies that she had been able to acquire. But she never knew whether or not she was using them or not until they went to visit and she had the opportunity to see that one of the items for sure she was using and she felt, wow, I'm relieved. At least she's using that gift I gave her. God's given us a gift. And he's given it to us abundantly. And he says, fill it up. Grow in grace and knowledge. Use the gift I've given you. And the question I have for each and every one of us, and that includes me, are we taking advantage of that? Are we using that gift of God? Are we calling upon it? Are we drawing upon the strength and the power of God's Holy Spirit? And if we don't think we need it in this time that we live in, believe me, how much worse does it have to get? And it will get worse, by the way. We both all know that. Let's go to Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is like a man leaving the country who called his own servants and delivered to them his property. And well, God's Spirit was given to us when we were baptized, was it not? So that's pretty personal. He's given us his Holy Spirit. So he's saying, okay, I've given you this gift. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? God the Father does the calling. He gives us the understanding of his word. The whole gift of God's Spirit will lead us, help us, and guide us. But you know, God won't do it for us. He won't do it for us. You know, we have to do something. We must be doing the doing as led by God's Spirit. Verse 15. Matthew 25, verse 15. Now one he gave 5 talents, and to one 2, and to another 1. He gave to each according to his own ability. See, he's not going to stress you beyond your ability. He knows each and every one of us personally. He knows what your strength is. He knows what your weakness is. And he says, I'm going to give to this person this much, and this person another, and this person another. And immediately he left the country. So he handed out the gifts and he left. Then the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made an additional 5 talents. Well, how did he do that? Well, he did it by buying and selling. The characteristic about trading and buying and selling is that we relate to the results with buying and selling, what it gets for us. You can either get something of value or something of less value. There's degrees. They are usually never satisfied if you're really a collector and you're really buying things that are really worth something. So whatever we have today, we should never be satisfied that we know today is going to carry us tomorrow. So the knowledge we have today may not be sufficient, which means we need to study more. We need to pray more. We ask for God's Holy Spirit to, it says, grow in what? Grace and knowledge, does it not? So isn't that a positive reinforcement there? You grow in grace and knowledge? That means you don't sit stagnant. It means that what you know today, you need to know more tomorrow. Or at least you need to know how to apply it more tomorrow. We need to continue to grow, to learn more, to buy more gold, to build up treasures in heaven. That's what he says. Verse 17, Matthew 25. In the same way also, the one who had received 2 talents also gained 2 others. But the one who had received the single talent went and dug it in the earth and hid the Lord's money. This is likened to one who doesn't want to do because God is going to magically do it for them, and it doesn't happen that way. I could read the results of what happened to that one, but we all know the scriptures well. If there's any one thing that we ought to learn, God is not going to magically do anything for us. He will do for us as we respond in loving him, serving him, hungering and thirsting after his word and God's way, and seeking to have the mind of Christ living in us. Then he will lead us. But he's not going to do it for us. We're going to have to work. We're going to have to do something. He'll give us the tools. He has given us the tool. He's given us his Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants came to take account with them. And there's going to be an accounting for each and every one of us. There's, what does it say? There is judgment on the house of God now. This is our time. This is our time. There'll be others that will come after us. There's the world out there that knows nothing of God and his way of life now, but they'll have their opportunity sometime in the future. That's the love of God. It's something the rest of the world does not understand, but you have been given that knowledge and that understanding. That itself is a beautiful thing, is it not? To realize that people that you love that never had the understanding of God, there's some future for them beyond what we physically or spiritually have understood in the world's way of thinking, we know there's a bigger picture, do we not? Because we have the full plan of God. We know how it works. Then the one who had received 5 talents came to him and brought an additional 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered 5 talents to me, and I have gained 5 other talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, because you were faithful over a few things, I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the kingdom of God. You've made it. You did something with your life. You took the tools I gave you and you magnified them. You increased in knowledge, grace and knowledge. And the one who had received 2 talents also came to him and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, because you were faithful over a few things, I will set you over many things. What? Enter into the kingdom of God. That's what we all want to hear. One of these days we want to hear those words. Welcome into the kingdom of God. Well done, my faithful servant. God wants us to grow in grace and knowledge with his Spirit. While there's time to buy, brethren, we need to be buying it. That a wake-up call for me just a couple of months ago. I'm here because of the grace of God. I don't have any other explanation. Had some good surgeons. I had a friend here in the audience that got me to the hospital in time. But I also appreciate the vulnerability that each and every one of us have each day, because we never know from 1 minute to the next what our destiny is going to be. And hopefully, we're ready. Hopefully, we're ready. That means you got to be ready all the time, 24/7. Living God's way of life, growing in grace and knowledge, living by every word of God. It's not an easy task. We got to get on our knees. We got to pray. We got to exercise that power of God's Holy Spirit to keep us in check and online. But it's so important to keep these things in mind. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. He says, ho! But I must say, hey! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, listen to this, he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. These are the true riches of God, the true spiritual meat, the true spiritual drink, that coming to Christ because he alone can provide. Verse 2, why do you spend money? For what is not bread, spiritual bread. He's talking about spiritual things here. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Why do you waste your life on things that are not going to be fruitful for you? They're not going to provide the living knowledge of God that you need to chew on every day of your life to give you substance. All the foolish false doctrines that are coming along, they are spending money on that which is not truly bread or spiritual bread. They are spending their resources, energy, money, and everything they have, and they all are wrapped up in that which is not from God. We need to be careful not to be caught up there. He goes on and says, in your labor for what never satisfies, hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3 of Isaiah 55, he says, bow down your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And David needed a lot of mercy, didn't he? He needed a lot of forgiveness from God, and he got it. But here God is saying, bow your ear down, listen to me. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to get through to you. I want you to be in my kingdom. I want you to sit and sup with me personally. Jesus Christ says, I want to share my throne with you. How more personal could that possibly be? Haven't we all learned that when you share bread with somebody, you have a more personal relationship on a physical plane? Here God's talking about a spiritual plane. We're really talking personal here. At Passover time, Jesus Christ said, I desire to eat this Passover with you. Let's drop down to verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Eternal, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And that's where we all need to be, brethren. Verse 8, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says God. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let God's word work in us. Let it produce in us. Let us attain that higher level of understanding with God and using His Spirit to help us develop that. Now let's go back to John. Wrap it up here in John. John 6, verse 35. John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, tie this into what we just read in Isaiah 55. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ saying, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me shall never hunger. And the one who believes me shall never thirst at any time. That's what we need to do, brother. The one who comes to me shall never hunger. The one who believes in me shall never thirst at any time. We all need to be restored to Jesus Christ, to be restored to God the Father. God gave us His Holy Spirit for that reason, as a helper to lead us with all truth and into all truth. And we need to exercise it. We need to use it. He teaches us all things and brings those things to remembrance that we need to know. He convicts us of our sins when we need to. He helps us to know what to pray for. And God's love is poured into our hearts through Him. God will give us the strength to handle any and all stress and trials that come our way through the power of His Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God. And He intends for us to use it every day of our life. What we need to do, brethren, is to be drawing upon that. More than ever, the Church of God will be challenged as we move forward. Each and every day, the challenges may get greater. We're going to need one another. Jesus Christ encourages by saying, love one another. How? As I have loved you. And He gave His life for each and every one of us. And He gave us His Holy Spirit so that we could be united in one in the direction we need to take towards God's kingdom. Don't let the Sabbath be just a day in which you sit in church and fellowship. Let it be one more day in which you're building those blocks to the kingdom of God. Let it be one more day in which we exercise the power of God's Holy Spirit to grow in grace and knowledge. And that we would all be worthy to be in the kingdom of God.